One ought to be a Christian. You know, young people, you may not think, a lot of the world may not think, and the crowd you run with may think you're a square if you live for Christ. But you wait a few years down the road. We had an 82-year-old man testifying here yesterday morning about how wonderful it was to be a Christian. Hey, he might outlive a lot of us, but humanly speaking, he's ready to go across the other side. Hey, it'll pay you someday to live for Jesus Christ. And very few old men on up in years can, brother, have happiness and joy without the Lord. The devil has no happy old people. Only the Lord has happy old people, because they know better things waiting on the other side. Okay, turn your Bibles, please, to John 15. John 15. I'm going to preach a message that I have preached before. I may make this an annual message. I don't know. And you'll find out I have been doing a lot of fruit tree pruning last 5 or 6 weeks, and it's on my mind. And I started to get up another message, and the Lord just impressed on me to use a message I'd used before. As I've said before, if any message worth preaching, if it's not worth preaching twice, it's not worth preaching once. And there's a lot of great truths in this message on God's work in the life of a believer. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. The Lord said, without me ye can do nothing. And folks, we can't. We're a zero without the Lord. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless this word to our heart. This is a tremendous message. If you have been born again, if you have been genuinely saved, this message ought to speak to your heart today. And this is not for the unsaved. God doesn't chastise an unsaved person. Judgment's waiting you. But if you're saved, God deals in love when he chastises a Christian. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to come back one more time, this side of eternity, to the house of God. And Father, I pray that you would bless these songs to our hearts, and Lord, bless the Word of God, and speak to your people today through the Word of God, and encourage them through this portion of your Word today. And somebody here not saved, Lord, may they come to Christ and know the reality there is in Christ Jesus before they leave here today. Lord, anoint me now. And Lord, if you'll help us and if you'll bless, Lord, we'll try our best to give you the glory for it. Lord, we need you. Lord, we confess that without you, we are nothing. We agree with that statement. Lord, we agree with it. Lord, I'm sounding brass and tinkling cymbal as you bless me and help me. And so would you help me today as I preach? Help these that sit here and await. And may, Father, you feed our hungry souls from the Word of God through the Holy Spirit today. Lord, some poor lost soul here, may they come and get saved, get born again, come to Jesus. Somebody wandering from the Lord, may they come back today. Have your way. Build us up in the faith. Get glory to your name. Blessing our children's churches all over this building, we pray today. And keep your hand on Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and on our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now in this chapter 15 of John, our Lord uses some beautiful symbolism. Christ said, I am the vine, and we as believers, he said, that we are the branches to the true vine. And we were wild branches, but when we got saved, folks, we were grafted in. We were a wild branch grafted into the true vine. That's what salvation is being become a part of the body of Christ. And he, the Lord Jesus, is the true vine. And the purpose of grapevines and fruit trees is to bear fruit, grapes and pears, apples, peaches, and so on and so forth. That's the purpose of having vines and fruit trees. And his purpose for our lives as the branches of the true vine is that we might bear fruit. Now in this chapter I read, in these eight verses, we see four or five stages of fruit bearing. That'd be a message within itself right there, just the five different phases of fruit bearing. In verse 2, we see the two stages of fruit bearing. There is no fruit, there is fruit, and there is more fruit. And then in verse 5, in the latter part of verse 5, another stage, much fruit. And then down in verse 16, which we don't have time to go into today, fruit that remains. I like to see people get saved and stable the stuff. I like to see fruit that remains. But if a branch has no fruit, he said he purges it or cuts it and prunes it. It's useless. Cut it off. I did some of that yesterday in my pruning. And every branch bearing fruit, he purges it or he prunes it and shapes it just right so it'll bear much fruit and then more fruit. Now, who is the husbandman or the vine dresser who does the pruning of the branches or who does the pruning in the lives of believers? Look at verse 1. Jesus said that the divine husbandman is our heavenly Father. Now, I finished my pruning of my fruit trees and grapevines yesterday. I was way off. I was about a month late in finishing it. But I had a little health problem, as you know, in February, and I got a late start. And I've spent an hour and a half a day, or maybe sometimes a little more than that, three or four times a day the last four, 5 or 6 weeks on my peach trees and cherry trees and apple trees and pear trees, so on and so forth, and grapevines. Now, I'm not an expert of anything that I know of. Certainly not an expert managing fruit trees. I'd starve to death if I had to make my living with fruit trees. I'm telling you. But I've learned a few things about fruit trees. A few things, I said. Not a whole lot, but a few things. And today, I want to just take the parallel of pruning fruit trees and parallel that to the divine pruning that's going on in the life of a believer. And if you are a genuine believer, you're being pruned constantly. I'm being pruned constantly. First of all, let's notice the need for pruning. The need for pruning is universal. Most fruit trees around the world must be pruned in order to be productive and healthy. And all believers must undergo pruning. Look at verse 2 again. John, chapter 15, verse 2. Notice Jesus said, every branch in me, he purgeth it. If you're in Christ, you're going to be purged. Hebrews 12:6, or pruned, or chastened, whatever word you want to play. It all means the same thing. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, if we're a branch in Christ, and if we are a son of God, then our Heavenly Father will prune our lives and chasten us. And if he didn't, we'd never grow as Christians and we'd never amount to very much in the Christian life. You know, I thank God for all the pruning that he's done in my life down through the years. Folks, I don't want him to have to prune me one more time. And it's no fun to go through chastening and pruning. But I thank God for all the pruning that he's done in my life. And you better, if you're a believer, You better thank God for the pruning that has gone on and probably will keep going on in your life till you get to glory. Now, the need for pruning is annual. It is harmful to let fruit trees or grapevines go for a year without pruning them. To neglect them for a year is harmful to the vine or the tree. And it would be spiritually disastrous if our Heavenly Father didn't lovingly and constantly prune those things, snip those things out of our lives that shouldn't be there. And I believe this, I'm convinced of this, pruning in the life of a believer is immediate, or it's close at hand when we sin or get out of the will of God. David is a good instance of that. David sinned, and God's hand fell on David almost immediately. Well, when I say a hard thing to my wife, now she never says anything hard to me. I mean, she's always so nice and gracious. But if I say a hard thing to my wife, almost immediately the Holy Spirit checks me. See, that indwelling Holy Spirit, He doesn't wait years to check a believer. It's almost immediate that God starts checking and pruning His children. So the Lord starts chastening, I believe, immediately. So pruning is going on in the life of a believer constantly. And folks, what that does, it rubs off the rough edges in our life when the Lord snips and prunes in our lives. Then also, the need for pruning is essential. I never liked to prune. It seems like when you prune a fruit tree or grapevine, you're ruining that crazy thing. My wife said she'll look after the grapevine after I've pruned it. And she said, Gene, you've ruined it. You've ruined it. But after I prune, I've got a lot of branches and down in my yard right now. I didn't finish till late last night, right before dark, pruning my fruit trees. And I've got loads of branches to carry off. But you know, it will ruin a fruit tree if you do not prune it. And pruning is absolutely essential for a fruit tree, but also so it is in the life of a believer. It is absolutely essential that our Heavenly Father take His divine pruning knife and cut out things in our lives that shouldn't be there. Our lives would be a mess. We'd never be fruitful. As a Christian, if our husbandman in heaven neglected to purge or chasten or prune our lives. Now, I like compliments just like everybody else does. I'm going to preach the truth where people compliment me or not, but I like people to come out and say, "Preacher, that was a blessing this morning," or sometimes that was a sweet sermon. I mean, we all like compliments. And I like compliments, every other preacher does. I like big crowds. Now, we were down about 80 here today or something like that. And I don't like to see the attendance down, but this is Time Change Sunday. We always are down, it seems like, on this Sunday. But anyway, I like big crowds. I like big offerings in our church. And I like when I give invitations, see the altar filled and people getting saved and getting right with God. But folks, those things do not help me to grow as a preacher. Big crowds, compliments, big attendance, those things do not help any preacher to grow. It is the time of suffering, the time of heartache, the time of trouble that has helped me to grow as a Christian and as a preacher. The trouble we had down the old church when we relocated up here, the trouble I had to go through. I was a young preacher. I needed some chastening and some pruning. I needed for the Lord to snip out of my life the things that shouldn't be there. When my son, when he was just 2 days old and 3 days old, his blood had to be exchanged because he had blood that had a problem. And I had to get on my face before God. And just recently, when they went down in my heart, you see, all those things are used by the Lord to prune in the life of a believer. And I have had to have pruning in my life. Or the Lord couldn't have trusted me to lead a church this size. And every believer who is ever, people say, oh, I want the Lord to use me. Then if the Lord ever uses you, you're going to go through some pruning in your life to prune out the things in your life that shouldn't be there so you can bear fruit as a believer. So pruning is absolutely essential, absolutely necessary in the life of a believer. Then let's notice the purpose of pruning. The purpose of pruning, first of all, is correction. I cut off limbs. There's one of my trees had some diseased and dead limbs, and I had to get a saw out yesterday to cut off some limbs that were for my fruit trees that were diseased and dead. And Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The divine pruner purges, prunes, chastens us so that he can remove dead works from our lives. Now, I cut off limbs that are going in the wrong direction. If they're going up or if they're going down, we cut them off. You want the limbs to go out that way on a tree. And so I cut those limbs off going in the wrong direction. You know, the divine pruner, the divine husbandman also prunes our lives so we will go in the right direction. Jonah, God said, Jonah, go this way. Jonah said, if you don't mind, I'm going this way. What did God do? He put him through the chastening process. The divine pruner started doing some pruning. He just had a whale to be happen to be about the right time there when they threw him overboard. And Jonah then was willing, after he went through the pruning and chastening and purging period, he was willing then to go and do the will of God. And I cut off limbs that are blocking off the sunlight in tree. If the foliage is too thick on the top, you have to thin it out. Or if a limb is over another limb, you have to trim it so that the sunshine can get in. A tree needs sunshine. And if a limb is shielded from sunshine, it will be ineffective, it'll be weak and unproductive. And if a believer, oh, what a tremendous application this is. If a believer has things in his life that hinders the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, from shining in, then the Heavenly Father takes those pruning instruments and starts cutting out those things in our lives so we can shine for Jesus Christ. Turn over, hold your place here, and turn over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews 12, 9 and 10, page 1303 in your old Schofield Reference Bible. Furthermore, Hebrews 12, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. You know, if the liberals, this is getting off my mission, I better not get on this. If the liberals have their way in America, in the future, it's going to be against the law for you to whip your children. There's cockeyed. That's cockeyed philosophy. But when you go against God's word, that's what happens, though. I don't have time to get on that. Don't get me on the welfare. Human services. Human services department. Oh. Don't get me on that. Had a bunch of liberal sociologists. Let me get back here now. Gary, you ought not have got me on that. Well, anyway, verse 10. For verily, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So our Heavenly Father prunes things out of our lives so we can be more like Jesus and be a partaker of his holiness. Fruit trees need S-U-N, sunlight. And believers need S-O-N, sunlight in our lives. And then another purpose of pruning is balance and growth. Now, you don't want a fruit tree that's top heavy. Now, I'm not an artist. We'll wait till next Sunday for the artist to be here. The artist is not here today. But you don't want a fruit tree that's top heavy on the top. You want a fruit tree that's like that, like a Christmas tree, so the sun can hit all at all sides, see, of the tree. And it's beautiful. A tree that's just right is a beautiful thing. So all the light can get in all sections of the tree there. And also a balanced tree is a beautiful tree. You want a tree like this. You don't want it. You don't want a tree that's side goggling like that, and too much on one side. And you want it balanced and proportionate. If you let too many limbs grow on one side, see, it'll get out of balance. And when a hard wind comes, it'll be out of balance, and the tree will topple if it is not a balanced tree. A balanced tree can stand the storms and the winds. And if you do not have a balanced Christian life, and if you fail to keep right perspectives, and if you get wrong values, and if you overemphasize some things and underemphasize other things, you will fail in the Christian life. I believe one of the keys to a balanced, successful, fruitful Christian life is balance. Is balance. And you will not stand the storms of life unless you learn to live a balanced Christian life. Then, if you let a limb grow too long, it will break when there's a heavy load of fruit on there. So you cut a limb back, and so that limb will be a strong limb and can bear a heavy load of fruit. And our Heavenly Father prunes our lives sometimes because we're weak, puny Christians. He does so because He wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Then, the purpose of pruning is also fruit bearing. That's the main reason I have a fruit tree, so I can enjoy the fruit. I don't want to have a fruit tree and go through all that work. Just say, "Boy, look at my pretty apple tree." I wouldn't go through all of that just to have a pretty tree. I like that apple tree every now and then to produce some beautiful, luscious, golden, delicious apples or some tasty red apples. That's the purpose. And if it doesn't produce good fruit, it's going to come down. And I've recently had to take two fruit trees down because of that. I like to sit down at the table and hear and see Ellen put a big dish of a bowl full of apple cobbler in front of me and hear her say, "Do you want some ice cream on that apple cobbler?" And I say, "Honey, is there a cow in Texas?" And I want to enjoy the fruit from my trees. And you know, that's exactly the purpose of our Heavenly Father for our lives. Folks, He expects fruit from the life of a Christian. And when we do not bear fruit, look out. Look out. Our Father in heaven will take out those divine pruning shears and start pruning here and start pruning there. Why will the Lord start pruning in our lives if we're not bearing fruit as a Christian? Again, look at the Word of God. Look at verse 2, back of John 15, verse 2. The reason He prunes our lives in verse 2, latter part of verse 2, that it the branch that's connected to the true vine, that we as believers may bring forth more fruit. If you're saved today, I want every child of God, boy, listen, if you will listen to your preacher this morning, I'll save you a peck of trouble down the road. If you are saved, I mean if you are born again, if you are a genuine child of God, and you're unfaithful to the house of God and unfaithful as a Christian, if you are worldly, if you're an unproductive Christian, brother, there's a rocky road ahead of you if you're saved. If you're saved. If you are a professing Christian. Listen, brother, if you're saved and you're not, if you're genuinely saved, now there's a difference in the way God's deals with the unsaved and a person who's genuinely saved. The divine pruner is headed your way. Brother, the shears are in his hand. I'm going to show you this in a minute. God is headed your way if you are born again and you're an unfaithful Christian. It could bring heartache. Listen to me. Saved, child of God, if you're out of the will of God, it could bring heartache and tears and loss. But when he's through trimming in your life, you'll be a fruitful, productive child of God. Now, if you are a professing Christian, just a professing Christian, and you lay out a church, and you won't take a job in the church, and you're not interested in souls getting saved, and you're mixed up with worldly pleasure and worldly habits, and you rarely ever pray, you never have time for the Word of God, never witness. And listen, if the Lord doesn't prune you, listen to me, everyone in this building, listen and listen well. If you are a professing Christian and you are not a faithful Christian and living for Jesus and involved in the work of God and prayer and trying to win souls and reading the Bible, and if the Lord doesn't prune you and if the Lord doesn't chastise you, then you are a church member only and you are not saved. You know as much about real Bible salvation as a hog knows about nuclear physics. Because Jesus said, look at it again in verse 2. Now folks, this is a tremendous truth I want you to see today. Jesus said, every branch in me, if you have been locked into Jesus, if you are connected to the true vine this morning, every branch in me, he purgeth it. All, everybody. So if you are a church member today and you are not living for Jesus Christ, you don't have a prayer life and you don't have a walk with God and you don't know the blessing of God on your life, folks, something's wrong. And if God doesn't purge you, you're not saved. As Hebrews 12, 7 and 8 says, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are bastards, then are all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. So the Bible says if ye be without chastisement, you are an illegitimate child and you're not a son of God. Now let's look at the instruments of pruning. I brought some of my pruning instruments here today. Since I couldn't get Bob Bryant to teach him on these things, Bob had to go ahead, but I've done it now. Appreciate your good intentions anyway. But there is a little hand shear. I do most of my pruning with that, and then little bigger limbs with that. And right here is a long pole pruner. I won't take time in illustrating all that. I'm not an expert on those. Most, you don't have to be an expert. You just have to grab hold and get started, mainly. But the poles, I can go 10 or 12 feet up and snip the limbs off up high. And I use the right instrument for the job at hand. When it's close, I can reach it and use a pruner, little hand pruner, a little higher, the other, and the lopper. And then if it's way up, I get the pole pruner. And, you know, it's exactly the same way with our Heavenly Father. He knows exactly the right method or instrument to use to prune our lives for satisfactory results. The Lord knows exactly what to do. Let's just look at a few of the divine pruning instruments today. First of all, is the Word of God. The Word of God. As we read this book, it will not only bless us and build us up in the faith, but folks, it'll convict and cleanse our lives of that which is wrong and contrary to God's will for our lives. Look at verse 3, John 15, verse 3. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. If you just stay in the book, just read the book, and live in the book, God will point out things that's right and show you things that's wrong in your life through the Word of God. Look over at chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them. Verse 17, chapter 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the cleansing and sanctifying and purging and chastening instrument God has for our lives is the Word of God. So as we read this book daily, our Heavenly Father will use the Word of God to cleanse out of our lives those things that harm and hinder us as a believer. You know, I have to take a file all the time and sharpen my pruning instruments. But folks, this book is sharper than any pruning instrument in the world. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a pruning instrument that cuts both ways in our lives. Then another pruning instrument the Lord has is the Spirit of God. When a Christian gets out of line, gets out of the will of God, see, a Christian is indwelt by the Spirit of God. If men have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so when a Christian gets out of the will of God, the Holy Spirit of God will check him and will not give him peace in his soul until he gets back in harmony with the Lord God of heaven and gets back in line. The Holy Spirit is not only given to convict and to convert sinners, but also the blessed Spirit is sent to convict and correct believers. Look at chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remember whatsoever I have said unto you. And then look at verse chapter 16, verse 13. 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now the hand pruners that I showed you there, I use those hand pruners most of the time in pruning fruit trees and grapevines. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God are the two main pruning instruments in the hand of the divine pruner. But listen, if those don't work, brother, he has other instruments that are available. There is loss of joy. The Lord wants us to live a life of joy. It's not good for good advertisement for the Lord Jesus for his people to go around sad-faced and look like a possum eating persimmon seeds or look as dead as an old mule eating sawbriars and go around with our chin dragging and saying, oh, doesn't it cost a lot to be a Christian? Oh. Now, folks, that's not good advertisement. Loss of joy is, listen, loss of joy is no good advertisement for Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, 4 says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to have joy. And sometimes he removes joy from our lives, and that joy will not return until the wrongs are righted. Then there is the loss of fellowship. A Christian can never lose his sonship, but he can lose his fellowship. When we deliberately sin or go contrary to the Word of God, the Lord will withdraw the sense of His sweet presence from our lives. And Christian, if you're not enjoying the sweet sense of the Lord's presence and sweet fellowship with Jesus today, then you may have once lived close to the Lord and now you're not living as close to Jesus as you used to, then you can rest assured that the divine pruner is at work in your life. He has withdrawn Himself until you come back to Him and repent and make confession. David committed that awful wicked sin. But in Psalm 51, he asked the Lord, said, "Lord, cleanse me of my sin." And he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Lord, cast me not away from Thy presence." There is something more that I want more than the material things in this life. I want it more than good health. And that is, I want the presence of the Lord in my life. More than anything else in this world, I want to know, folks, that every now and then that the Lord is there. And nothing in this world will take the place of the presence of God in the life of a believer. Whatever the cost, I want the Lord's presence in my life. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Now let me quickly give you some other more serious pruning instruments that the Lord may use if these first pruning instruments do not get the job done. He could use reversal. He could allow life to just cave in on you. You know, trouble is a blessing when it corrects us and gets us back in line with the Lord God of heaven. He could use sickness very effectively in our lives. For there's been many a Christian that has got their priorities right just before they rolled into an operating room. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word." Then the Lord has used the extreme measure of bereavement sometimes in the lives of believers. You know the story of my fighting the call to preach. Some of you heard me tell it so many times you could get up and give it yourself here. But I fought the call to preach for 4 long years. And by the way, all I know is what God's done in my life. All I can stand up here and preach is what God's done for me. And I fought the call to preach for 4 long years. I just didn't think I could do it. Twice, the Lord seemed to speak to my heart about the possibility of my dad losing his life in a car wreck if I didn't quit fighting the call. And my dad never owned a car. We walked everywhere we went. Now you can call that a premonition or whatever you want. But I went up to Alaska between my junior and senior years in college. I was a Southern Baptist home missionary up there that summer, student home missionary that summer in Anchorage, Alaska. And on July the 8th, 1953, I picked up the phone. And my pastor down in Saudi, Tennessee, said, "Hello, Gene." He said, "You're going to have to come home. Your dad was killed in a car wreck today down in Red Bank, Tennessee, north of Chattanooga. And there's a lot of other details I could go in which I won't this morning. But in less than 2 months, I gave up my football scholarship down at Southern Mississippi University and was enrolled for my senior year at Bob Jones University and started preparing for the ministry. It took my dad's life to get me behind the pulpit. And then another thing about that, my mother got a little money out of my dad's death. And the money, that some of the money that my mother got out of my dad's death helped put me through 3 years at Bob Jones University. So the Lord had to send bereavement in my life to get me to do His will. And I believe my dad's in heaven right now. I had a good dad. My dad's in heaven right now. And I believe that if I could talk to my dad, if we'd have him come and stand right here, my dad wasn't a public speaker, but he'd say, I was glad to pay the price to get my son in the ministry and get him in the will of God. And you know, I would be glad to go on to heaven right now if it took it to get one of my children in the perfect will of God for their lives. Because see, I want my children, the greatest desire I have in life, and I want to please the Lord and serve the Lord, but one of the great desires, I want my children serving Jesus Christ. I do not care whether my three children ever make much money in this life. That doesn't bother me. Money doesn't mean that much to me. If I can pay my bills and keep out of the debtor's prison, I'm happy. And have a little bit to eat, something to wear. That's all that's necessary. But I want, more than anything else, my children serving Jesus Christ. And oh, it'd break my heart when my children get out of school, get out in life, and not serve the Lord. Parents, I don't know how you can take it when your children are not serving the Lord. All I can say, you need to get on your face daily and cry out to God and hold on to God till your children get right with Jesus Christ. I am looking forward to heaven, but the leaving this life would be a little sad if I had to leave here and my children weren't serving Jesus Christ. Oh, parents, don't lose your children. Hold on to God for your children. The Lord had to use bereavement in my life to get me serving the Lord. But the Lord has other pruning instruments He could use in our lives if necessary. But I think that I've said enough about this today. Christian, if you're experiencing God's pruning in your life this morning, if you know you're saved and things are not right, and maybe you lack that close fellowship with the Lord or lack that joy, the Lord's withdrawn Himself, it seemed like, and God's pruning in your life, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't get bitter. Don't question God. You ought to thank God, Christian, if you're saved, that God's hand is working in your life, that He's pruning you and He's chasing you and He's purging you. It is proof of your salvation. It is absolute proof of your salvation when God starts dealing in your life, when you're out of the will of God. As I've already quoted, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all of God's children, every one of God's children is going to be a partaker of chastisement. And if they're without chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. It means you're a child of God. Hallelujah. Then also, if you are being pruned and purged, if that chastening process is going on in your life today, it means God loves you. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Christian, if you're not enjoying sweet fellowship with the Lord like you used to, the Heavenly Husbandman is pruning your life. Why don't you, like David, say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. An unsaved friend, in a crowd like this, I'm sure there are unsaved people today. But you know, God's not pruning one unsaved person here today. You may be getting by with sin and enjoying it. But see, the Lord only prunes His children and chastises His children. I never did go around whipping other people's children. That'd get you in trouble, wouldn't it? And the Lord doesn't whip the devil's children now. I only whip my children. And the Lord only whips his children right now. See, there's a judgment ahead where God, we're out there, brother, it's waiting. A judgment day is waiting. Everyone who's not saved and everyone who doesn't know the Lord. And God will take care of the sin problem then in the life of the unbeliever. But I'm glad I cannot get by with sin. I'm glad I can't get by with error. I'm glad I can't get by with wrong. I'm glad that when I get out of line, that sweet Holy Spirit within me starts checking me. And brother, that's a sign I'm saved. I know, Brother Steve, I'm a child of God because I can't sin and get by with it. I didn't say I was glad I know I'm a child of God because I don't sin. No, but I can't get by with it. I can't get by with it. That's a sign that you're saved, see. So if the Lord is pruning you today, you ought to thank God for it. You know what you ought to say? Lord, do a good job. Do a good job so I can be a faithful Christian and be more like Jesus. And that's a purpose of God's pruning in our lives, so we'll be more like Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer.